In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. And this is the confidence we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of Him. And so today, St. John gives us one of the boldest promises in all of Scripture. That's right, what you just heard is that if we ask anything in prayer according to God's will, He hears us, and we know we've obtained what we've asked for. That seems like we've won the lottery, and we have, but only if we submit ourselves to how God, prayer, and faith works, and that's the lessons we will talk about today. And appropriately, our first lesson is, of course, first things first. What happens before we pray? Today's reading says, before we utter a single word in prayer, that God hears. God is listening. A theologian put it beautifully, prayer is always answering speech. It's always answering speech because the first word is God's word. In the beginning was the word, we say, and ours is response because we're never first, never primary. So first things first. This reverses how we tend to think practically about prayer as if we're trying to get God's attention, usually for something we need. And Scripture insists the opposite. Prayer is responding to the God who already speaks, who already made us, already knows us, already is moving towards us. True, it may feel at first that prayer is pulling God into our world, but it's really God pulling us into His. The church fathers said this from the second century. They said that prayer is like pulling on a golden chain from heaven. As we pull in prayer, we're lifted up. It's like a rope thrown to your boat from a dock. We pull and the boat comes to shore. The shore doesn't come to us. So when we pray, first things first, let's grasp less for God and allow ourselves to be grasped by Him. If we do this, it will help prevent us from using God. We have won the lottery in prayer, but God is not a heavenly bank machine. The treasure is your life, your great God, your relationship with Him. Prayer, like any relationship, shouldn't be a one-way street, a monologue, like voicemails or texts. Hi, Lord, it's me again. Here's what I need. Text me. Prayer's a dialogue. It's a relationship. But it's a relationship with someone much, much greater, wiser, truthful and loving than we are, who's way ahead of us. Zi du der, amenaka gitesis betes mer. Yevis garis arevel, kanzor chantremke vimanamk. We say every day in the evening service, for you, Lord of all, know our needs and desires better than we could even ask or comprehend. What does this kind of prayer look like in practice? New York pastor Tim Keller tells a story from his life. He said he prayed for an entire year that the girl he was dating wouldn't break up with him. He even moved closer to make it easier for God. But she still broke up with him. And years later, he realized, of course, it was the wrong girl. And he said he eventually understood what God had been saying all along. When a child of mine makes a request, I always give that person what he or she should have asked for had they known what I know. That is today's passage in real life. God hears us, but he answers according to his will, which is much wiser than our will. His time is also not our time. We judge by immediate results. God plays the long game, and how you start is never how you end. Our Armenian ancestors understood this. We have a story, an old Armenian story, of a farmer who prayed for abundant grapes, but the summer was dry, the vines looked weak, and he feared the harvest was ruined. But come autumn, the grapes were richer and sweeter and more flavorful than ever because the drought had concentrated the sugars. And what looked like God's silence was actually God's wisdom. The fruit simply needs time to ripen. We need time to ripen. We've won the lottery, but if we don't have the heart and the wisdom and the discipline to use it for good purpose, it could ruin our lives, not save it. And so all the lessons in prayer that we've talked about so far are about our own humility and submission and patience. Funny then that John says that we should approach God with confidence. Isn't that a contradiction? Not if we understand the word confidence and prayer. Confidence means what? It means believing with. The less prayer is about us, and the more it is about God, the greater it becomes. Because though we are small, our God is great. And together, we must never underestimate what we can accomplish in his service. The man who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, John Newton, wrote another hymn that captures this confidence in prayer. He says, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such that no one can ask too much." Sometimes we ask for too little in prayer because we don't believe God can answer the prayer. I think more often we ask for too little because we're afraid of the consequences if our prayer is answered. We pray for God to work good, but then when he calls us to make it happen, we are tempted like Jonah, like Hovnan, to run the other way. That's because partnering with our great God does indeed bring great power, but it also brings great responsibility. And Rabbi Abraham Heschel said, "The universe is done, but the greater masterpiece still undone, that's history. For accomplishing his great design, God needs the help of men and women." God needs us, or more precisely for Christians, God decided to need us, to rely on us for his ultimate purpose. With the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God has put himself literally into our hands. And we are now responsible with him for how things turn out. We've won the lottery, but that has very little to do with us and everything to do with God. So let us partner with him in prayer to live into our greatest calling, that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, day by day, prayer by prayer, grace by grace, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.